This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good morning. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, as we get going on a Wednesday morning. You know, it's funny. There's all these traditions in sports, right? It's not just the game itself, but you look forward to things as a fan. Maybe your team does something at some point in the year that you kind of look forward to. Maybe it is a walk through to the stadium like college football teams do. It's Patriots Day in Boston when the Red Sox play on the same day as the Boston Marathon, an early game at Fenway Park. There's all sorts of different ones that go out in sports. But what is going to happen today is a very interesting tradition that people in Alabama really cherish, and that is Nick Saban speaking about the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's a kind of a cool phenomenon. I've gotten to experience it twice at SEC Media Days in my career. It is a really neat phenomenon because Nick will walk into the hotel room and he'll get down to business and he'll talk about the program, and it's carried on television. It's carried on radio stations around the state. It is really neat. It's almost like the president giving the State of the Union address, right? What is the state of the Alabama Crimson Tide? It's different than other coaches when other coaches speak. And if you're a fan of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan or Tom Herman at Texas or anybody else across the landscape, you get really into what your coach is saying. Maybe he's going to drop some nuggets of information. But when Saban speaks about Alabama, that whole state sort of shuts down, calms down, and everybody wants to listen to what's going on. And of course, his success at Alabama and the way he's able to keep that machine going, strong recruiting classes, always in contention for a national championship, has made that sort of, you know, program that doesn't have a lot of margin for error, if you will, you know, one of the more interesting programs to listen to and just talk about, because even if you're not a huge fan, Alabama moves a lot of needles in college football. If Alabama has an off year, if something just goes wrong, if they don't win enough games, where does the baton go in the west of the SEC? Where does the baton go in the entire conference? Where does the baton go in terms of the college football playoff and the status of the SEC? So it's just interesting. Watch it today. He was going to be at the podium today in Birmingham. But coming up, one coach said something I really liked hearing at one of the media days, and it has everything to do with tradition. I'll tell you about it next. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, here's a good wake-me-up song. Thanks, Gio. Good job keeping the beat going along, trying to keep us moving. Very good.
Thank you. I try.
A little morning dose of Bruno Mars. I like it. So I've been telling you all week about media days. You know, listen, we're in a slow part of the season as training camps kick in, and, you know, NFL teams will start reporting, a lot of them next week, a couple this week, but a lot of them next week. But media days in college football sort of setting the table for the upcoming season. They'll have about 6 weeks before they start their season. And yesterday was Big 12 media days wrapped up in Arlington, Texas. It was kind of cool. It was neat to see in AT&T Stadium. These things tend to get bigger and bigger, which is really odd because when you think about the availability now of different types of media, you don't necessarily have to be at these events to get the information you're looking for. Now, if you're a reporter and you're writing feature stories on players and whatnot, you want to get a one-on-one, yeah, you have to be there. But if you're just looking for general information, you don't necessarily have to go to these things anymore. They're all broadcast live. You can catch them on streams. People will post clips on all sorts of social media. But it's being at the site that is kind of it's for reporters and media. It's that you kind of it's a seen to be seen kind of event. Especially in these conferences in the SEC. It's just a chance to hobnob with other SEC media members that you're going to see all year around the Southeast, and same with all the other ones. Tom Herman at Texas spoke about his program that we all have eyes on after they won the Sugar Bowl last year and had a remarkable season and started to build themselves back up. And so there's a lot of expectations on Texas. Sam Ellinger, their quarterback, has been, you know, criticized by Baker Mayfield and Terry Bradshaw. Herman talked about that and said, listen, we're going to file that, you know, like my guys file that kind of stuff away. You know, good for him, not making too big of a deal of it, but reminding that there's some motivational factors that can go into that. But what he said about a former rival was something I thought was refreshing and I hope comes to fruition. I like rivalries in college sports, right? I think they're important for college sports. I'll even respect a rivalry that I don't have any part in. I went to South Carolina. South Carolina Clemson is fantastic. I watch it every year. I get psyched up for it every year. The last couple of years, not so much because Clemson's been fantastic. So it's like watching, you know, the Gamecocks going to, you know, the slaughterhouse. I mean, it's just been terrible. Nevertheless, the rivalries are important. The traditions are important. It's what kind of, you know, gets things. You can have a bad year, but beat your rival in that one game. And you don't necessarily see that in other sports, right? In baseball, nobody really talks about how many times the Yankees beat the Red Sox if the Yankees miss the playoffs. If you're a Yankee fan, you don't get any sort of satisfaction by saying, you know, we didn't make the postseason this year, but we beat Boston 12 out of 16 meetings. Like, that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel right. NBA, same thing. College basketball, yeah, Duke, North Carolina. But in the end, it's about hardware in the tournament, right? But in college football, these matter, right? The bragging rights matter. And you could go down the list. Any college rivalry, doesn't matter. Look at Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh had a great season last year. Didn't beat Ohio State. He'll be asked about Ohio State at Big Ten Media Days 1,000 times, right? You know, Shea Patterson, they could talk about him playing quarterback. You could talk about, all right, you did lose to Florida last year, but in the bowl game, how does that affect the team going into this season? What kind of team you have? But Ohio State, losing to Ohio State is the conversation starter, right? It's the same thing. Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Florida State. But there used to be one in college football that I used to love, and I think it was very important to the sport, was Texas and Texas A&M. And it was great when both were in the same conference. But once Texas A&M, after the 2011 season, moved over to the SEC, they didn't, you know, they canceled the rivalry. Now, if you're Texas A&M, there isn't any real reason why you should keep the rivalry other than nostalgia. It's a bad strategy in terms of scheduling. You already play in one of the toughest conferences in college football and in the toughest division in college football. When you have to roll through Alabama and Auburn and Ole Miss when they're good and Mississippi State when they're good, right? I mean, and since Texas A&M has been in the division, think who they've had to play, right? Dak Prescott. When Ole Miss was really rolling, right? When Hugh Freeze had that program really rolling. LSU every single year. Of course, Alabama and their national championship runs. Auburn, who has been up and down but relatively strong. If you're Texas A&M, you don't want to go near Texas. Bad, not bad, you know, whatever it is. Texas is a sleeping giant in college football. They can wake up at any minute and be good for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. They may have had their down moments, right? After Mac Brown left and Charlie Strong came in, Tom Herman's building it up. They may have been irrelevant in the national championship picture for a while, but they're a sleeping giant. And if you're Texas A&M and you make this long-term commitment, every single year we're going to be doing this. It's a good rivalry for us. It's a good rivalry for you. Our fans love it. All of those things are true. However, the way college football is set up, the way it used to be set up before the playoff, you don't mess around with your non-conference schedule. However, the committee is now saying, hey, guys, go out and get some non-conference games on your schedule that are legit regardless of where you're playing. So if you are LSU, go get somebody outside in your non-conference schedule that's got some meat on its bones. Same with you, Alabama. Same with you, Auburn. Same with you, Texas A&M. Right? You're not going to be penalized as harsh as it used to be in the old days where a loss could mean goodbye national championship. And that may open the door for this rivalry. Now, Tom Herman spoke about this. Now, what he said yesterday, I thought was a really interesting way to put it. He didn't diminish the other big rivalry that he has on his schedule, which is Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. But what he said was he thinks it's good for his fans to have an in-state rival or an historic rival where he can play them at home. Right? Neutral site games. Talked about this yesterday with Florida and Georgia. Neutral site rivalry games are great, but there is a tendency to want to bring those to your campus, even if it means you have to take it away from your campus and go to their campus every other year. You see what that would mean if you could bring this home, right, to your stadium. Well, that's not going to happen in the Red River rivalry. That's too important. That's a big deal. That's such a deep tradition in college football. Don't mess with that. However, Texas A&M and Texas flip back and forth. Austin to College Station, Austin, et cetera, et cetera. Now you're bringing a historic rival, an in-state rival, to your home every other year. And I hope that comes to fruition. I actually want that back. I want to see a little bit more. Again, nostalgia for nostalgia's sake doesn't necessarily work as a strategy. You shouldn't do it if you're Texas A&M because, well, everybody's clamoring for it. Why not? If you feel like your national championship goals, and believe me, if you're Jimbo Fisher, you really are trying to win a national championship. It's not trying to go to a BCS bowl or whatever. It's not trying to do any of that. It's trying to win a title. Then you don't want to mess with your schedule with too many hard games and putting your guys through that kind of ringer, especially if Texas starts getting really good again. I mean, after a while, you can really beat your team up. And if Matt Luke starts building Ole Miss back up, and he can recruit. Matt Luke can recruit. And Ole Miss starts getting good, right? Auburn is always a threat. You look at that division. Man, I wouldn't want to go through that division. That's a landmine of hell. I mean, that's awful. And if you can survive it, all the rewards bestowed on you. But if you're living in a world where you can get by with a loss, but two losses hurts you, you don't want to mess around with that. It's the criticism of the way scheduling is when it comes to the committee telling teams, hey, go get a non-conference schedule that has some, you know, meat on their bones. Yeah, I get it. But at the same time, will you let me in if I have two losses because I went out and got Ohio State on my schedule? Like if you're Auburn, right, for example, and you go out and get a really good, maybe Oklahoma, right? Let's say you schedule Oklahoma. Are you telling me I can survive with two losses, that I can be in the picture with two losses? Well, I got to win my conference. Well, what if I win my conference, my division, and I have two losses on my schedule, and I win the SEC championship? That should get me in, right? But what if there are two undefeated teams and two one-loss teams that also won their conference championships? Are you telling me I'll be in the same category? You'll still view me the same way as an undefeated Big Ten team and an undefeated Big 12 team and a one-loss Pac-12 team and a one-loss ACC team? Like, are you going to tell me I'm in that same boat? Because if you are, great. If you're not, then I need to be careful. Because if my goal is to win a national championship, I got to strategize how to best win a national championship, and it doesn't mean loading up with all these tough games. I can see where Texas A&M would say, "Hey, listen, I don't know." Like, listen, Tom Herman is saying he wants to do it. I don't know if the administration feels that same way at Texas. I hope they do. I really want to see it. I mean, I really do. I think part of the college football appeal is regular season matchups. And I know we're expanding this thing. I know we're expanding this playoff. Listen, I used to say I'll never see a playoff in my lifetime. I was one of those guys. And I couldn't read the tea leaves of college football. I couldn't sense where it was heading. But I used to say all the time, the bowl games are too important. There's never going to be a playoff. They can't figure out how to do it. They won't be able to incorporate the powers of the bowl into the formula. But they did. And when people say, oh, they'll never expand it to four, they'll expand it to six. I never thought they'd expand it to four. Are you kidding? I never thought we'd see this. They're going to expand it. The new commissioner of the Big Ten, the guy that was the COO of the Detroit Lions, I think, or no, the Minnesota Vikings. If he helps the expansion of the playoff, that's a big win for college football. They'll get that if he can help. Yeah, Jim Delaney was always against it, and if somehow the Big Ten as a conference goes into the supporting the idea that maybe we should have six with two byes, et cetera, that, you know, then then we might actually have it. But if you expand the playoff, remember, college football's regular season gets really diminished. Now, on the flip side, that's good because maybe you can get more rivalries because you won't feel the sting of a non-conference heavy schedule. But at the same time, those games used to really matter. I mean, man, oh man, you used to sweat those things out because they really did matter. You need a lot of sort of things to fall your way. I would like to see Texas and Texas A&M renew their rivalry. I understand some of the strategic value of not having it, especially when you play a tough conference, especially if your conference is really good. But man, it was fun. It was a rivalry I respected and I had no part in it. 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio as we get rolling along. Coming up, we'll get in more college football, the things that we'll want to see the rest of the week at ACC Media Days, Big Ten Media Days. We'll talk some more about the upcoming season and get some NFL as well as the Broncos report to camp. They're the first ones out of the gate as we get ready for that coming up in just a couple of weeks with preseason games at SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Close, convenient, known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So again, Media Day is kicking her off in college football, and I'm just jazzed up for it. I like the excitement and energy, and then it's going to die. This is the cool thing. Like, then this week, I think, is all of them. But I think there might be one next week, but I'm not sure. But anyway, this is where coaches will talk, players will talk, everyone will be all excited. Then it goes into, like, fall camp hibernation, right? There's no preseason games. Kind of disappears. If you want to follow how practice is going, there'll be guys covering practice, but that's really it. Right. Oh, somebody threw well. Somebody caught a good ball that was thrown to him late in the night, et cetera, et cetera. Or they practiced indoors because it was raining. Yay. And, or so and so, it was nursing a minor injury on the sideline. Those are the kind of information you get, but nothing really major, just little nuggets of information to keep things rolling along. Then bam, it starts up. It's going to start. College football starts on the 24th this year. And the Florida Gators are taking on Miami. That game's going to be a neutral site in Orlando. And then the 31st, there's going to be some Thursday night games. Then the Labor Day weekend, obviously it's filled up. But again, this is the time where people get really buzzing about the teams and buzzing about the potential of players. Look, Big Ten Media Days is going to get started, and a lot of focus is going to be, of course, on Ohio State with Ryan Day as the new head coach and also Justin Fields, a transfer in from Georgia, taking over the quarterback position. Now, that's going to be a tough for Ryan Day, right? Because no matter what, you're not going to be Urban Meyer out of the gate, right? You're just not. Urban Meyer, he left on his terms. He didn't leave because things were getting a little stale. Ohio State, just things aren't clicking anymore. No, he left when he left. Cited health reasons. Will probably come back into college football again someday. But Ryan Day is responsible for keeping the Ohio State machine moving, right? 13 wins last year. Keep it moving. And that's a lot of pressure. Now, you obviously have tremendous talent, right? Their offensive line is good. They'll run the ball great. Got some good wide receivers. And Justin Fields, transferring out of Georgia, he challenged Jake Fromm for the starting job at Georgia. Just didn't get it. Needs to play. Fromm is going into his junior season. Ain't giving up that job anytime soon as Georgia, contends for a national championship. So he transfers to Ohio State, and now he's going to be responsible for being the quarterback, replacing Dwayne Haskins and keeping everything going. Tremendous amount of pressure at that program because you're not, again, you never want to be the guy. This is an old saying. You never want to be the guy that follows the guy. You want to be the guy that follows the guy who followed the guy, right? No, nothing. I'll give you a perfect example of that. When John Elway retired, the reins of the Denver Broncos, for example, went to not Bubby Brister. It actually did for 2 seconds, and then they actually gave it to Brian Griese. But Brian Griese got the starting job. Now, if you're the guy that follows John Elway, you can't people just can't help themselves by comparing you to Elway and the success of that team. So when you don't live up to those expectations, you get it worse. Rather than if you are a same quarterback, same talent, same results, imagine going into a program that's won 3 games, you know, over 2 years and maybe, you know, 5 games over the last 3. You'd be hailed as a hero if you produced the kind of results that, you know, Brian Griese was putting together in Denver. It's just that they weren't Super Bowl championships. So who benefited from that in the Bronco quarterback lore, at least for a little bit when he first got to town? Jake Plummer. Because he wasn't the guy that was following Elway, he was the guy that was following Griese. And as long as he played better than that, that's the way it goes. So you're a head coach. And Lincoln Riley had this too. When Lincoln Riley was tabbed as the best young coach, boy, he really lived up to that. But when you replace Bob Stoops, you're taking a race car and you're asking that, you're asking to, you know, drive that race car to the finish line, right? Keep this going. We're not trying to run some laps and get some points here. You got to keep that going. And that's what Ryan Day is going to have at Ohio State. Tom Herman didn't have it. Tom Herman had to replace Charlie Strong. He had to build Texas back up again, right? That's easier to do than to keep the machine going sometimes, because in college football, you're not allowed to misstep very often. If Day does a bad job coaching a particular game, if his team isn't prepared as well as they would have been under Urban Meyer, and it costs them a game against Penn State, let's say, or Michigan State, or anybody else, Wisconsin, anybody. If there's a sense that the team was outplayed or outcoached, and it's kind of like art. You know good art when you see it. You know when a team is being outcoached when you see it, right? That's a misstep that sometimes you can't overcome, right? That's a misstep that you're going to say, okay, if the goal is national championship, if the goal is to get into the college football playoff, I'm really not allowed a lot of wiggle room here. I'm not allowed 3 losses and find myself early, or I got, you know, my team was, you know, suffered an injury and I couldn't figure out how to overcome it. I mean, they're thin at quarterback. If Justin Fields goes down, I feel bad because I don't know what they've got behind them. They got a good offensive line and they got good skill players, and maybe the guy who comes in is more of a game manager, but they're not exactly loaded behind Justin Fields. But okay, so imagine the pressure of Ryan Day, right? Keep this thing moving, keep this thing moving, keep this thing moving. What about the pressure on Harbaugh? Right, Jim Harbaugh needs to beat Ohio State. That's the downfall of Michigan football right now, is that he can't beat Ohio State. Got to beat Ohio State. For all the good that he's doing, for all the times where the Michigan looks good or overcomes not looking good, it all gets predicated around Ohio State. That's going to be the big focus at Big Ten Media Days, right? That's just the way it goes in college football. It's crazy, but that's the way it is. You got to beat that rival. We care about the rivalry. When I was at South Carolina, I didn't understand that. My first year at South Carolina, I didn't understand it. I wanted to go to a school. I wanted to go south because I didn't really like winter weather. But I also wanted, I really wanted to go to a school that had a big-time college football program. I knew I wanted to go into sports media as a career, and I knew college football was a big deal. And I was, I'll be honest with you, growing up in New Hampshire, I was kind of a rare kid in my area growing up that really loved and followed college football. I read the magazines top to bottom. Where I grew up, college football was not a big deal. NFL was a big deal. Boston Red Sox were a big deal. But college football wasn't a big deal. You know, maybe Doug Flutie and the Eagles of Boston College, but that was about it. Most of my friends didn't follow college football. Most of my friends didn't know who was up for the Heisman Trophy. Most of my friends didn't know the deep rivalries, didn't understand the dynamics of the sport in terms of how a champion was crowned in terms of voting, because back then it was all voting after the New Year's Bowl games. But I did. Because I love the sport. So Sports Illustrated would bring its college and pro football preview. I'd read it cover to cover. I knew the teams. I knew the quarterbacks. I knew the coaches. I knew who was supposed to be good, who wasn't supposed to be good. I loved college football growing up. But I was kind of a rare kid, so I wanted to experience that. But even as much as I knew about college football and I knew about rivalries, nothing prepared me for being on campus during a rivalry game. It mattered more than anything else. It mattered more than most things in sports in that area. It was a big deal.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
God, Gio, who needs coffee in the morning when you've got some very upbeat music? So far, you're like 3 for 3.
Thank you.
And keeping the beat alive this morning.
Oh, the next one's
not always
be a
easy
downer.
To do. Oh, is it? Yeah. Next one's gonna put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Give me some sad 1970s song about some country music ballad about a lost dog or a lost love.
Some
make me go
Frank Sinatra.
Bring the mood way down. Yeah, where I just smoke a cigarette and drink some scotch like it's 1952. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Is that what you do when you drink, when you listen to Sinatra?
When I listen to Sinatra, I throw on a fedora, pour a glass of JD, and just smoke a cigarette. No, I just enjoy Frank's music. That's my playlist in my office when I do a lot of other stuff. I will sometimes throw on a little Sinatra and get to work.
Yeah, I mean, he's love it. A lot of people don't listen to him nowadays, so I'm impressed.
I know. It's amazing. It's so funny now. Like, it's some young people don't, they know of that era. They know, like, they think, oh, is that Dean Martin? Is that Frank Sinatra? Like, they don't, they can't instantly recognize the voice where, my generation, we could definitely before me, you definitely could. But it seems like it's just kind of drifting away a little bit.
Well,
that kind of music, that sort of swing sort of music.
Well, I have a theory about that. The Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra infomercials were like 2 o'clock in the morning. So,
yeah, that's true. Remember those?
Yeah. So all the young people were listening to that growing up, but they don't see the faces because it was like in their sleep. They leave the TV on. I used to leave the TV on whenever I went to sleep, and I remember those infomercials. I never actually watched them. I just remember.
Is that in 2019? Are those a thing anymore? Where you remember when you used to watch those and be like, "Hey, I grew up. Beach music was always the fascinating music, right? We grew up with the Beach Boys and the Everly Brothers and this and that, and now we've got all the hits right for you on this 5 CD collection." People don't buy CDs anymore, right? They just download whatever they want. Is that still? Is that still a marketable thing in 2019?
I don't know if it's a marketable thing, but they're out there selling it.
Are they still out there still selling it?
Yeah, I can tell you from doing the overnights, I've seen those Bad Boys, the 5 DVD set of
roast. Yeah. The roasts are great. Yes. Now, the roasts are really good. Those are funny. You know, I have this thing about the celebrity roasts, because I've seen a couple on Comedy Central, right? And I got to be honest with you. Listen, I'm not from the era of the 70s. I'm not from the 60s. Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, go down the list of those guys. Angie Dickinson, Lucille Ball. I mean, all those guys, all those people that were in those celebrity roasts back in the day, that's not from my era. But I've seen those enough where, like, Foster Brooks and all those people, all those guys, Don Rickles. I've seen enough of those where you watch those, and here's the difference between, and this is how I feel anyway. I mean, it might be different when I see the Dean Martin roasts, right? When they would roast Lucille Ball, and the guys would get up on stage and they'd tell jokes about Lucille Ball, and they would roast her and all that stuff, and she'd laugh and they'd laugh and the audience would laugh. But you always got the feeling like they genuinely loved her. They didn't just love her like, oh, I love her, she's great. Like, they loved her. They would do anything for her. They loved her. And it was all in good fun. And I feel like the roasts on Comedy Central, some of it is cruel. Like, some of it is really, really cruel. And I wonder if there's not as much love in the room in the ones I see today as the ones I saw in the old days. And I'm not saying the old days were better, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going down that, I'm not going down that road. But it doesn't feel like there's this mutual camaraderie. Like, it feels like you get some good comedians on there that can do this for a living, that know how to really dig and know how to roast. And some of it is just, some of it's nasty. Some of it's downright personal and nasty.
Yeah, I mean, and those Comedy Central roasts, like, not all of it actually makes it into the screen.
Yeah,
like, some of them,
exactly.
They have to cut back some of the real hard stuff. I think that back then they used to be all friends and, they did this for fun. But now it's just a bunch of random comedians, like you said. Pretty much the only job.
Do they even know each other very well?
I don't think so. I mean, these guys,
like back in those days, like those guys were mega stars. I mean, they did Vegas together. You know, they would do movies together. I mean, they were mega superstars. And now I watch these. Sometimes I would watch a Comedy Central roast. I'm like, who's that comedian? I think I've seen him on a special, but I'm not sure. I don't know who he is. He's pretty good, but I don't really know who he is. But back then, man, those guys were uber famous. I mean, they were super famous.
Yeah, I know for a fact that Comedy Central uses like the up and coming comedians to promote their own stuff that they have going on in Comedy Central. So
exactly,
they don't even know maybe the guy or Charlie Sheen or whoever they're roasting. They just there to make a name, and that's why they go so hard at the guys so they can stand out from all the other people.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right. So,
but yeah, yes. I remember all those infomercials, the roast. Man, the Lucille Ball like DVD sets, like everything. But all never. But I don't remember like actually watching them. All I remember like falling asleep through them.
When I was in college, years and years ago. My roommate and I were up late one night watching TV, and we ordered a juicer off an infomercial. We were just laughing, and we were watching this infomercial, and they had this guy, and I don't know if he's still alive, but he might live to be 200. He was nicknamed the Juice Man, and he looked. Jim Carrey did a kind of a parody of him in Living Color. So he's on this. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. And my roommate and I are in college, and we're watching this. And the guy is just like, "Hey, you have aches in your muscles? I take beets and spinach and an orange and a little apple, and that'll cure you right up." And we're watching this, going, "Oh man, that looks so good! Like we are got to get healthy." So we order this juicer, and we get this juicer, and I kid you not, that thing was the biggest pain. First of all, we didn't have a dishwasher in the apartment. Okay, so we had to wash everything by hand. And if you have a juicer, you know what I'm talking about. You no matter how powerful the thing is, it's dirty, right? There's pulp, and the screen is all messed up, and there's, you know, it's just, you have to wash it all the time. And so we would juice. We go to the store. And we're broke college kids, by the way. Like, I worked at a restaurant part-time, going to college. And we're going to try to buy fresh fruits and vegetables to juice. And we would buy a whole bunch of vegetables, and then we would juice them, and we'd use up $20 worth of vegetables to get like two glasses of juice, and then we would drink it. It wasn't the best tasting thing. And then we'd be like, now we got to clean this stupid thing up. And eventually, I think I got to keep it, but it was eventually just sat in the closet. We didn't even use it again.
Did you not think you were going to have to clean it back up?
Or? I don't know what we thought. It was just a whim. It was just like, oh, dude, let's buy that. That's
some
great.
Natural.
Let's get that.
Free carrot juice.
Let's get some carrot juice in our system. We'll be healthy. We'll be the healthiest guys on campus. Everyone else is drinking beer all night long, eating late night burgers and tacos. Not us. We've got the beet, carrot, and celery combination that'll keep us going.
So how'd you enjoy that six pack? Was it worth it?
It was definitely not. We never got in shape, and we never felt good. Not to say juicing isn't bad for you. It's just you got to be committed to that. You got to spend some money, and you know, like I said, I don't like cleaning. I don't like cleaning things by hand. I like throwing it into a machine and turning on the machine and going. So,
same here.
You know, I'm not going to spend all my day scrubbing out a screener and rinsing out a pulp box. I ain't doing that. Are you kidding me? I got things to do. What that nonsense? It's crazy.
It's funny you mentioned the Jews, man. You said 100. Pretty close.
Is he still alive?
No, he died, but only
did he?
2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So he lived to 95.
Oh, my God.
So close to 100.
See, now, you know what you just did? That makes me want to reach out to my old college roommate and say, Juice Man just died a couple of years ago at 95. We said he's going to live to be 100. We both sat there and watched this crazy guy sell us a juicer. And he was so energetic and so fit. And he was probably 70 at the time. My God. It's crazy.
You were part of the $100 million in sales that it produced.
Oh, no, man. Let me tell you what. If there was, I mean, I saw a lot of infomercials in my day. A lot of them, I wouldn't go anywhere near that product. It looked like it looked kind of dumb. But there was something about the way he sold that that made you go, I have to own this. I don't know why, but I got to own this. It made two little tipsy college kids break out a credit card they probably shouldn't have had and buy it online. And when they say call now. At 1 o'clock in the morning, somebody was like, yep, all right, there you go, and it'll be shipped on the way. Sure enough, it did. One o'clock in the morning, we ordered a juicer.
Yeah, if you want to buy one now, it's $150 on Amazon, so jeez, there you go.
I think that's what I paid back in college.
At least they're consistent. You paid $150 back then?
Oh, yeah. I think it was around that. Yeah, I can't remember the exact price, but I think it was like that. Yeah, it was not cheap.
Were you guys sober?
It was in the 90s. It was not a cheap machine. It was powerful. That thing would juice a cardboard if it could. I mean, that was crazy.
Was this a sober decision?
Not really. This is late one night. We're just, you know, home, just watching TV. The infomercial came on, shooting the breeze. Hey, you want to get that? Yeah, I think we need that. Yeah, we definitely need that.
We got 80 bucks to spend each.
Yeah, why not? You know, I thought the money train was never going to end. I don't know what happened to that juicer. I want to say, but my parents just moved and I didn't see it at their house, which is where I would have left that kind of junk. I think he may have taken it, or we might have gotten rid of it or something. Maybe we gave it away. Who knows? I don't even remember. All I know is we didn't want it anymore. After a couple of juices, we just said, "This enough of this." We just weren't committed. So there you go. But, you know, infomercials, they were the big deal. So, all right, 800-777-2907 is the number. Coming up, something happened at Yankee Stadium last night. A little bit of a buzz between the Rays and the Yanks as the Yankees continue their lead in the AL East. Got to get to that. That's coming up next, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, number of baseball games last night, but what I want to highlight, the New York Yankees beat the Tampa Bay Rays 8-3. Now, listen, why am I highlighting this game? Because during the All-Star break, we had this conversation that was kind of brought up by Justin Verlander that the ball is juiced, that the ball is flying out of the parks now at an unprecedented rate. And there is, at least Verlander feels, there is something in the makeup of the ball. The Yankees are hitting home runs at again, an incredible pace. And last night in this game against Tampa Bay, there's no better example than this. The Yankees basically scored all of their runs in this game off home runs. They hit four in the game from four different players. Edwin Encarnacion hit a home run. DJ LeMahieu hit a home run. Aaron Judge hit a two-run home run in the eighth inning. Oh, and then to cap it all off, Didi Gregorius hit a grand slam in the same eighth inning in which the Yankees put up six runs to pull away. Oh, and in case you were wondering about Tampa Bay, they hit two home runs on the night as well. Listen, I understand. Listen, baseball is great when the offenses are going. Like, listen, I'm a pitcher's duel guy. I love 2-1 baseball games with a mastery of pitching, but that's not sellable. It just isn't sellable. What's sellable is power. That's sellable. And as we talked about this last week, Verlander's comments do deserve some attention, even if they're not true, right? Even if they're not true, even if baseball is saying, look, we haven't done anything to the baseball. We haven't made it so that they fly out of the park easier than before. If that's true and it's just a statistical anomaly, great. But even if there's something to it, yeah, I would be frustrated if I was a pitcher because they are tilting the sport towards the thing that is attractive. I mean, listen, you watch the highlights. Here is a packed house in July on a beautiful night in New York, and the Yankees are hitting four home runs, including Didi Gregorius hitting a grand slam. Oh, and Aaron Judge gets a two-run home run as well. That place is going bananas. There was a moment in the game, though, that also deserves a little bit of attention. And I just find these humorous. The bench is cleared because CC Sabathia struck out Avisiel Garcia of the Rays and then started yelling at him. And then as he's walking off the field, they're jawing at each other, and CC never backs down. He's yelling too. Garcia remains at home plate after he gets struck out. He's talking back. CC Sabathia urges him to come forward. Garcia starts walking close to him. Sabathia is getting restrained by a base coach, which funny in its own right. And then benches clear, no punches get thrown. I have no idea what the beef is between these two. I have no clue. But nevertheless, you expect a little fireworks and you didn't get any. Like, I don't want punches to be thrown. The Yankees, my God, they're on the DL, IL, I should say, all the time. So I don't need to find four players with busted up faces because they got in a fight with the Rays. But as I said yesterday, listen, the Rays, it's incredible to me the year they're putting together. It really is. Kevin Cash has got a good baseball team, a baseball team that's not going away in the division. And yet, man, they just can't draw any attention. You know, packed house in New York last night. Boston still sells out. But Tampa Bay, a team that's 15 games above 500, they just can't generate the kind of buzz. Even if they go to the playoffs, I don't know if they generate the kind of buzz. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It's all Wednesday. And hit me up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. We'll get into some NFL. The Broncos opening up camp, reporting to camp today. First practice tomorrow. And other news and notes around the league as we get ready for that season coming up next month. SB Nation AM.